And I think that we're all there a lot as well. And I love this study in Jonah. I hope you've been enjoying it as well. I'm looking forward to digging into what God has for us next here today. Jonah chapter number 3. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. And if you're here, say amen.
Amen.
I'm talking not here physically, here, right here, okay? And I'm looking forward to jumping here into the book of Jonah together today. And, you know, Jonah, the story of Jonah is really a story about a reluctant man who encountered a relentless God. And how many of you are thankful today God never gives up on us? No matter how far we run away, no matter how stubborn we may be, I'm glad we have a God who is so rich in mercy that He wouldn't give up on the likes of you and me. And never stops pursuing, never stops trying to teach, never stops trying to help us grow. And what a blessing that is. And so our journey now brings us to the second half of the book of Jonah. Now, it took us almost 3 years to preach through the book of Genesis, and here I am halfway through Jonah, and it's only 6 weeks into the series, all right? And, of course, it's only four chapters, too, but nonetheless, here we are halfway through the book of Jonah. It's interesting, the first half of the book of Jonah tells a significant part of the narrative, and the second half of the book of Jonah flips it around and tells us a second significant part of the narrative, and they almost mirror each other. I want you to see this before we really jump into our text for today. Look at Jonah chapter 1 with me to begin here. This is also in your notes if you got those this morning. Jonah chapter 1 and verse 1. The Bible says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." We've heard that first half of the story, and we've looked at what happened as a result of the fact that Jonah ran. Well, Jonah ran, God found him, didn't he? He couldn't get away from God. You can run, but you can't hide from God. God found him on that sea, sent a storm, had him thrown off of the ship and swallowed up by a whale. And that's how we found Jonah last time we were talking about him in that place. But now as the second half of this book in chapter 3 begins, we really see a mirror image of what happened at the beginning, but with a much different result. Look at Jonah chapter 3 and verse number 1 with me if you would. The Bible says in verse number 1 of Jonah chapter 3, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Rise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord." Read that first phrase of chapter 3 out loud with me if you would. Let's read it together. Here we go. "So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord." Let me ask a simple question as we get started here today. What changed between chapter 1 and chapter 3? In the first half, well, that's one thing. In the first half of the book of Jonah, Jonah's running away from God. Now in the second half, we find that Jonah's running along with God. What changed? And I tell you, God didn't change. His will was still the same as it was at the beginning, as it was at this point. His desire for Jonah was still the same as it had been the whole time. God had not changed. And I tell you, the need in Nineveh had not changed. Jonah had spent all that time running from God and because God had called him to go reach the people of Nineveh, and the people of Nineveh were still just as lost and in need of the message that God wanted to Jonah to preach to them as they were at the beginning of the story. The people of Nineveh had not changed. Jonah had changed. God had done a transformational work in Jonah's heart to bring him to this point that we see him at here. It's interesting, when Jonah ran from God, I'm glad that God ran after Jonah instead of leaving him to his own devices. God used a storm, He used some sailors, He used a whale to bring Jonah to the end of himself and back to Him. And what we see demonstrated, and we've already talked about this in past weeks, is that Jonah went from rebellion to repentance. His heart genuinely turned back to the Lord. And after 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, Jonah found himself alive on the Mediterranean shore. And I just tell you, the gospel application is very simple. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God, when you trust in Jesus and what He's done for you, wants to put you through a death to the old man so you can realize that there is life in the new man. That's a little bit of what the song Ethan just sang was all about, all right? The old guy is gone, and God's given us a way to have victory. God has transformed our lives from the inside out. That's what we see demonstrated in Jonah's life, and I thank the Lord Jesus that He's done a work of transformation in my heart as well. 22 years ago, on October 15th of 1999, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I am not the same. You say, well, how bad were you before I was 9 years old when I got saved? How bad were you before that? Well, you can ask my parents that, okay? But I know God has changed my life. I know my life has been transformed because I know what Jesus Christ has done in me. And those of you that have been saved, I know you have experienced the same thing in your heart. And praise God for that fact right there. And so even after all Jonah had done, what we see demonstrated here in chapter 3 is that God gave him a second chance. And hallelujah, praise be to God that our God is still the God of second chances here today. Because if God didn't give second chances, and for some of us third chances, and fourth chances, and 40th chances, and 100th chances, I don't know where any of us would be. I'm glad our God is still the God of second chances today. Let me ask you a question. Do you feel like you've messed everything up and there's no hope for you in your life right now? Do you feel like you're a screw up and you're always going to be a screw up? And you messed it all up and there's no recovering from where you're at? I tell you, that's exactly where the devil wants you to be at today. He wants you to feel like your life is so insignificant and you're so screwed up that there's nothing that God could ever do with someone like you. It's exactly how He wants you to feel. But God. God can do anything. God could even take the wreck that you've made of your life and turn it into a masterpiece for His glory. He can. And He will if you'll let Him. I wonder if you'd be willing to let Him do that transformational work in your heart today. And as we look at Jonah, at this transformational point in his life, I want you to notice with me 5 ways God gives a second chance to those who turn back to Him. Because I'll tell you this, and don't miss this. You turn back to God today, I don't care how low you sank, I don't care how over you think it is, you turn back to God today, your story is not over yet. Jonah's story was only halfway over up to this point. He thought it might have been, he thought he's going to die in that whale. His story is only halfway over. When he turned to God, God still had a lot more life for him to live. And God still has something for you as long as you're still alive and kicking. If you'll turn to God today, I promise you, God can still do something with you. Because we serve a God of the second chance. Today I want us to pray. I want us to ask God to speak to our hearts. I want to encourage you as you pray to open your heart to God and ask God to speak to you and to give you what you need as we study this passage together today. Let's pray together and ask God to speak to us. Our Father, we come before You. We thank You for this opportunity to open Your Word. I do pray, God, that You'd use it. I pray, God, You'd work in our hearts. I pray, God, that You would just give the exact words that every person needs to hear. And those words will not be the ones that I speak, but the ones that You speak by the power of Your Spirit to the heart of every person that's here. And I pray, God, whether someone here needs a second chance from sin, they need to be saved, I pray today they trust You as their Lord and Savior. And for those who are believers here today but are wayward or distant, I pray, God, You'd help them realize that there is forgiveness and grace and mercy with You, and would turn to You in this hour of their life. And so speak to us as only You can, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. 5 ways I said that God wants to give a second chance to those who turn to Him. If you're taking notes this morning, you can write this first one down. First, God wants to revive you. You know how God wants to give you a second chance? God wants to do it, first of all, by reviving you. Now, when Jonah ran from God, it resulted in his being surrounded by a storm, swept into the sea, and then swallowed by a whale. I think that we can all agree that that was an irrecoverable position. All right, you get swallowed by a whale, you're at sea, no ship, no way of rescue, you're done for. And by humans, by every human standard, that was an irrecoverable position that Jonah found himself in. And yet when Jonah found himself in this hopeless position, we studied last time in chapter 2 that he remembered God, he repented of his rebellious ways, and he dedicated his life to return to what God had called him to do. And we notice at the end of chapter 2, in verse number 10, what God did as a result of Jonah's repentance. Look at verse 10 with me of chapter 2. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land." God literally brought Jonah back to life again. And we could put it this way, he was revived. Okay? He was resuscitated. He was brought back into the land of the living. Spiritually speaking, he went in that whale running from God. But he came out of that whale running to God. Spiritually speaking, he went in a rebel to God's will, but when he came out, he was ready to do God's will. You see the change that happened in Jonah's heart? We could call this not just a physical revival, but in a very real way, it was a spiritual revival that took place in Jonah's heart at this point in his life. And I say this to you this morning, this is exactly what God wants to do in your life today. He wants to revive you. You may be sitting here thinking you don't need revival. You may be the exact person that does need revival if you're thinking that here today. I like how evangelist Rick Flanders describes revival and helped me understand it more simply. And he describes revival as revival is bringing someone back to normal. All right? Now, if I fell over on the ground here this morning, I thought about demonstrating this for you, but I was scared one of you might actually come up here and try to resuscitate me. So I won't do that. But if I fell over on the ground this morning and I stopped breathing, if one of you came up here and began to do CPR and get me back to breathing, would you expect me then to get back up and have superhuman power? No. That doesn't make any sense, does it? Well, listen. What we mistake about revival, spiritually speaking, is that we think that when someone experiences revival spiritually, all of a sudden they become a super Christian. That's not at all what revival is. Spiritually, just like it is physically, spiritually speaking, when you experience revival, it just means you get back to normal. If I stop breathing and you revive me, that means I've started breathing again. I wasn't breathing and I've started breathing again. And spiritually speaking, when you experience revival, it means you may not have been living for God in some area and all of a sudden God works in your heart and you are living for God in that area now. You weren't reading your Bible and God speaks to your heart and you start reading your Bible again. That's a little bit of spiritual revival taking place right there. You weren't going to church. All of a sudden God speaks to your heart. You come back and you start going to church. You weren't spending time in prayer. All of a sudden God speaks to your heart and you experience a little spiritual revival. And all of a sudden you start praying again. You weren't witnessing. God works in your heart. You start witnessing again. Don't you understand? Revival, spiritually speaking, is just getting back to normal. And so often we think that to have a spiritual revival means that we have to go so far and do so much to try to measure up to what a revival really is, when in fact it's really just God speaks to your heart about an area where you've stopped breathing spiritually and he wants to resuscitate you and bring you back to life spiritually. That's what he did for Jonah here, and that's what he wants to do in your life today. God wants to cause you to resume the life that he intended for you to live. Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 10, "I am come that you might have life and that you may have it more abundantly." You know, Jesus came so that we can live an abundant life. And that abundant life is living not in our own strength or power, but in his life and in his power. That's the key to the abundant life. And any time that we get away from depending on him and living in his power, he wants to spiritually resuscitate us and breathe back into us the spiritual life that he intended for us to live. That's what revival is. That's what God began to do in Jonah's life here. Now it's critical you understand this. You may want to write this down. Don't miss this. There is no revival without repentance. There is no revival without repentance. If I stop breathing, there's probably a reason why that's taking place. Maybe I've gotten something lodged in my throat, or my heart's not functioning properly, or whatever the case may be, and there needs to be someone who comes along and removes the obstacle that is keeping me from being able to breathe so that I can breathe again how I'm supposed to. And spiritually speaking, You may need to allow the Lord Jesus and His Holy Spirit to work in your hearts and come along and remove some obstacle out of your life that is keeping you from functioning normally as a Christian. You understand what I'm talking about today? There might be some bitterness in your heart, some anger in your heart, some unforgiveness in your heart, some sin unknown to others but known to God that's keeping you from functioning the way that God desires for you to function as a believer. And you cannot experience revival unless you allow the Holy Spirit of God to work in your heart and remove that thing, whatever it is, that is keeping you from breathing spiritually the way that God desires for you to do so today. I wonder if you'd be willing to let God work in your heart. I wonder if you'd be willing to let God bring about this spiritual revival in your life today. You see, God wants to revive you, but to do so, you must allow Him to remove the things that are keeping you from living the life He intends for you to live. It's interesting to me, in chapter 2, when Jonah repented, it's after that that God revived him and told the whale, spit him out. You're being held captive by something in your life today, and God did not intend for you to be held captive by. You'll repent. God will release you. And there is victory to be found in practicing the Christian life the way the Bible tells us we're supposed to do so today. I like the words of the prophet Hosea in Hosea chapter 6, verse number 1. He says, "Come, let us return to the Lord, for He is torn, and He will heal us. He hath smitten, and He will bind us up. After 2 days He will revive us. In the third day He will raise us up, and we shall live in His sight." God wants to bring you to repentance so that He can bring you to revival. I wonder if you'll allow Him to do it today. Listen, revival is a second chance from God. We don't deserve for God to speak to us. For God to come to us when we turn away from Him and try to breathe spiritual life back into us, so to speak. We don't deserve that, but God in His mercy and His grace, He continues to work in our life. He continues to be patient with us through our failures so that we in this lifetime, not just in eternity, but in this lifetime can live the life that He intended for us to live. Would you respond to God's working in your heart today? He's the God of the second chances. One way we see it is that God wants to revive you. Here's the second way we see it. God wants to reveal Himself to you again. He wants to reveal Himself to you. Now, when Jonah came back to consciousness on that shore, imagine the story with me as it actually happened. As he came back to consciousness on that shore, imagine the thoughts that must have been swirling through his head. The last recorded words that we see Jonah spoke from inside that belly of the whale, we see in verse number 9, the end of the verse. I want you to read the last phrase of verse number 9 with me, all right? Let's read it together. Chapter 2, verse 9, last phrase. Here we go. It starts with salvation. You ready? Salvation is of the Lord. Hey, that's the last thing he thought before he either died or drifted to unconsciousness. When he woke up on that shore, he realized salvation is of the Lord. And that was an impossible thing that took place. Jonah coming back out of that whale and finding himself alive on that shore. And no doubt he was elated to be alive. I also think as he sat there on that shore, he was also a little bit ashamed. Alone on that shore, the last person that he probably expected to encounter was God. And yet God was the first person who met him there. I want you to see verse number 1 of chapter number 3. If you're still with me, say amen. Amen. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, after all he'd done, why would God continue to speak to him? Wasn't it enough that God just gave him back his life? I'm sure these are things that were going through Jonah's mind, and yet, in a way of reassurance that only God can do, God showed up and revealed himself to Jonah in that weak and vulnerable moment of his life. And I love how verse 1 tells us that God's word came to Jonah the second time. I'm glad God doesn't stop speaking to us just because we don't listen the first time. Now, I've heard a parent say a time or two, don't make me repeat myself. I don't think any of us like to do that. I'm glad God's patient and merciful. And God speaks to Jonah the second time here. You see, Jonah had heard God's word before, and he turned his back on it. And after that, God was forced to speak to Jonah through the storm and through the trial and through even a whale. But now that Jonah had repented and turned back to God, this is an amazing thing. He could once again hear God's word speaking to him. You see the picture there? God didn't have to speak to him through the trial anymore. God didn't have to speak to him through the storm anymore. Jonah had turned his heart back to God, and he was ready to listen, and so God could actually speak to him through his word again. All right? It reminds me of a statement I heard someone say, the belly of a whale is a terrible place to live, but it's a great place to learn. I don't want to live in the belly of a whale. I want to learn what God has for me to learn, and I'd much rather learn from his word than from a whale. Okay? Some of you are going to be stuck in your trial until you're willing to repent and turn to the Lord and let God teach you what he wants to teach you through the trial. It's a good lesson for us to understand. And but Jonah once again heard God speaking to him again. It's a way we see God giving him a second chance. God didn't say, I already tried to tell you what I wanted. You didn't listen. And so here's your life back. I'm never going to speak to you again. All right? That's how some of us are. Somebody does something wrong to us and I'll let you live, but I'm never going to talk to you again. I'm thankful that's not how God works, all right? He begins to speak to Jonah again. And you know, oftentimes when one of my kids does something they know I don't want them to do and they get in trouble for it, I have four girls, and so this may make it more sense me telling you that, okay? Oftentimes when they get in trouble and they know that they did something I don't want them to do, they'll sulk off into a corner and just kind of, not pout, sometimes pout, but most of the time, they give me that poochy lip, all right? And they just feel so rejected, and they feel so alone because they disappointed their father. Why? Why do they do that? Well, they know they have disappointed me, and what they feel like is that I don't want to talk to them. I don't want to have anything to do with them. They're in trouble. That's what they think in their human mind. And so what do? I go over to them. I sit down beside them. They're young enough, I can still do this. I take them and put them on my lap. And I tell them, I love you. I'm disappointed in what you did, but I still love you. And we have a little reconciliation there. And it's always so sweet when it happens. I love when it happens. See, just because they've disappointed me doesn't mean that I don't want anything to do with them. On the contrary, if they understood they've done wrong and they're willing to own up to it, boy, I want to be close to them. I want them to know that that's a good thing. I don't want them to think that just because they've disappointed me that I reject them. You know, in a much greater way, that's how God treats you and I as well. When you run from God, one of the first things that you stop hearing is His voice. After all, the farther you walk away from God, the harder it is for you to be able to hear His voice. When you run from God, one of the first things you stop to hear is His voice. And sometimes God has to start speaking to you because you're not listening to His word through His works. Sometimes He has to speak to you through a trial to get your attention. But it's always done in love, and it's always done because He cares for you and wants what's best for you. But boy, when you repent and you turn back to the Lord, how sweet it is to hear the voice of God speaking to you once again. I like what the psalmist said in Psalm 138 and verse 3. In the day when I cried, you answered me and strengthened me with strength in my soul. It reminds me of the story of Peter in the Gospels. Peter, a notorious person for the fact that he denied the Lord three different times. Some of you heard that story before about Peter. He denied the Lord three times. And after he denied the Lord three times, the Bible tells us in the Gospel of Luke that Jesus was sitting there being accused by the Sanhedrin, getting ready to go to the cross. Peter denies him not once, not twice, but three times. And after that third time, Peter denied him. The Gospel of Luke tells us that Jesus turned from where he was being accused in that Sanhedrin hall, and he looked at Peter. Can you imagine how that felt? Peter just denied the Lord three times. He didn't say a word. He's sitting there being slapped, being hit with a reed, being spat on, being falsely accused. Meanwhile, Peter's over there denying that he even knows who he really is. Peter, after he denied the Lord the third time, the Bible says he ran away and wept bitterly. A couple days later, up from the grave, Jesus arose. After that happened, can you imagine what's going through Peter's mind? Well, he didn't want anything to do with me. He already knows what I did. And yet if you read the book of Acts and the Gospel of Luke, they both affirm this. After Jesus rose again from the dead, one of the first people that he went to see, you know who it was? Peter. In fact, when the angelic messenger met the group of ladies who came to Jesus' tomb and they gave him a message to relay to the disciples, they told the ladies, hey, I want you to go tell the disciples and go tell Peter. He said, Peter specifically, go tell Peter I'm risen and I want to meet you in such and such a place. And God once again began to speak into Peter's life. And friend, it's a blessing when God does the same thing for you and I. You may feel like God doesn't want anything to do with you. But friend, if you'll turn to God today, what you're going to find is that God wants to reveal himself to you. God wants to be a part of your life. God wants what's best for you. It's in your best interest to turn to him today. God wants to give you a second chance today. God wants to revive you. God wants to reveal himself to you. But a third thing I want you to see this morning is this. God wants to recommission you. He wants to recommission you. Now, it's amazing that God would even speak to Jonah again. But what is even more astounding to me is what God said when he spoke to him again. Look at verse 1 with me again, if you would. If you're still with me, say amen. Amen. Verse 1, the Bible says, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid unto thee. God here, we see, literally gave Jonah a second chance at fulfilling the mission that he had given to him. The circumstances that had taken place, Jonah's rebellion and running from God, God did not allow those circumstances and Jonah's sinfulness to disqualify him from still being used to accomplish his purpose for his life. I've very often heard people talk about this in these terms. Well, there's God's perfect will and God's permissive will. And if you screw up, then you can't do God's perfect will, but you can do his permissive will. Have you ever heard that before? You know what I'm talking about. Listen to me. God is a sovereign God. He knows you inside and out. He knows the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end. He knows everything. And friend, God can take rejects like us. God can take messes like us. He does it every day, and he makes masterpieces out of them for his glory. God knew everything that Jonah was going to do. Not that he approved of it, but God worked through the circumstances that took place in his life to bring him back to this place to where he was a perfect candidate to be the preacher, to declare God's message to the people of Nineveh. After all, we'll talk about this more next week. Jonah, after he'd spent 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a whale, there's actually a man in history who this happened to. He probably came out. His hair's all gone from the acid. His skin was bleached white. He probably came to Nineveh in tattered clothes, and he looked like the message he was preaching, I'm telling you. Not just physically, but spiritually, God fitted him to be the perfect candidate, to be the one to fulfill God's plan in giving the message to Nineveh. But the amazing thing is that God would still use someone like him. The amazing thing for us is that God would still use people like us to fulfill the mission, the purpose that he has for us as well. Can I tell you something? God's mission had not changed. He wanted the people of Nineveh to be warned, and he wanted Jonah to be the one to warn the people of Nineveh. It's interesting, in verse number 2, God once again refers to Nineveh as a great city here. And that's not talking about the greatness of its size, I believe. It's talking about the greatness of its importance to God. 4 different times in this book, God calls Nineveh a great city. And the idea behind the Hebrew word there is that it was great in importance. Jonah could care less about the people of Assyria, the people that lived in Nineveh, but God cared about them. And how many are thankful here today that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance? God loves all people, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And there's a lesson for us in that. God's mission had not changed for Jonah, nor had God's message changed for Jonah either. Look at verse 2 again. The Bible says in verse number 2, God told Jonah, arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and read the last part of the verse with me, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Jonah was to simply go and proclaim the word that God told him to preach. God didn't water the message down to make it more palatable. Now that Jonah had come back around and said, well, I won't preach that message, but I'll preach this message, that's not how it went down. No, God said, I want you to go to Nineveh, and the same message I told you to preach before, I want you to preach it when you get there. Now, this is significant when you understand who the Assyrians were. If you study the Assyrians in history, they were brutal people. And they did things to people that they considered to be enemies that were despicable, and we'll talk more about that later. The fact is, Jonah was fearful if he went to Nineveh, what was going to happen to him. But God still didn't change the message. God told him, you go to Nineveh, and when you get there, you preach the word. You preach the preaching that I bid you to preach. Even so, for preachers today, 2 Timothy chapter 2 or chapter 4 and verse number 2 tells us to preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with longsuffering and doctrine. God wants us to preach the word when it's in season, when people like what they're hearing, when they know and they're receiving the truth of God's word. But God also wants us to preach the word when it's not in season, and when people don't want to hear what the word of God has to say. God still says, just preach the word. And this is part of the commission that God was giving back to Jonah here in the scripture. And so for the second time, God tells Jonah to get up and go preach his word to the needy people of Nineveh. One person said this, it's almost as if God is simply reminding Jonah of his mission. And if Jonah was wondering if God could still use someone like him, he got his answer, didn't he? God called him for a second time and said, Jonah, I want to give you a recommission. I want you to get up and go to Nineveh like I told you to do before. And we'll see what he did in just a minute. Now, Matthew Henry, he said this, among men it has been justly pleaded that the giving of a commission to a criminal is equivalent to a pardon. In other words, if the government gives somebody a job to do that's been considered a criminal, in Matthew Henry's time, it was the equivalent to a pardon. The fact is, you and I as believers in Jesus Christ, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, Jesus has given you a commission. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, the Bible tells us that Jesus told us as believers, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, on one hand, I'm thankful that God has given me a commission, because God only gives a commission to those who He has pardoned. And through Jesus Christ and my faith in Him, I have been pardoned for my sin. And God has given me a commission. And He has for you too if you trusted Christ as your Savior. The fact is, you are a sinner. You are living for yourself. You were doing your own thing. But when you got saved, Jesus gave you a new reason for living your life. This great commission, we often call it, is a second chance from God. It's a chance for you not to live fulfilling your own selfish purposes, but for you to live doing something that will matter for eternity. Listen to me. God has not given you a second chance to live for yourself. He's given you a second chance to live your life for Him. Look in your notes or in your Bibles in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. The Bible says, for the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him that died for them and rose again. And it goes on in verse 20 to say, now then, because of the gospel, because of what Christ has done for us, because we're not supposed to live for ourselves, but live for Him, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. You want to know why God saved your soul and left you here on this earth? There's a reason why when you got saved, God didn't just take you right to heaven right away. He left you here for a reason, and that reason is His commission to get the gospel out to every person who lives in this world. That's our purpose as believers. R.A. Torrey, he said this, there is absolutely, absolutely no such thing as following Christ unless you make the purpose of Christ's life the purpose of your life. Don't call yourself a Christian. Don't call yourself a disciple of Jesus, a follower of Jesus, if you aren't following Him and doing the very thing that He left you in this world to do. And that's declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. Share the good news of Jesus with the people who are around you. It starts in your family. It goes on to your workplace. It goes on to this city. And all throughout this world, there are people who are still in need of hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God has given us a mission to go and share the good news with them. The wonder of wonders is that God would even use people like us to do it. Why would God use me? After all, I know how bad I am. I'm the worst person I know. I know all the sinful things I've done. I don't know all the sinful things you've done. And I know how much of a sinner I am. And I know how much of a Savior Jesus is. It's amazing to me that God would even use somebody like me. And yet God has recommissioned me to His purposes. And He's done the same thing for you. I don't care if you're a musician. I don't care if you're a mailman. I don't care if you're a plumber, if you're a teacher, if you're retired. I don't care who you are. I don't care what it is you say you do. The mission God has given you in that place and in every place is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to every person that you meet. I thank God for second chances. I thank God that He's given me a chance to do something that matters for eternity. I don't just have to go and clock in and clock out from a job that's going to mean nothing when I'm dead and gone. No. I can go in and clock out of a job and tell people about Jesus and see their souls won to Jesus Christ. That matters for eternity. We'd be wise not to forget that as the people of God here today. Number one way that God shows us He wants to give us a second chance is He wants to revive you. Number two, God wants to reveal Himself to you again. Number three, God wants to recommission you. But I say number four this morning, God wants to restore you. God wants to restore you. As we go back to the story of Jonah here, we find the first time that God called Jonah to go to Nineveh, we already know what happened, don't we? But this time, it was different. This time, when God called, Jonah listened, didn't he? Look at verse number three with me, if you would. Verse number three, the first part of the verse says, "So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord." God restored the old rebel back to his purposes for his life. I'm thankful that God is a restoring God. I'm thankful that God still takes rebels and restores them back to his purpose for their lives. He's still in the business of doing that. And oh, what a difference there must have been in Jonah's steps after God did this work in his life. You see, before when he was running from God, I imagine he took each step with fear. What was going to happen? He knew he was running from God. I imagine he took each step with fear. But now that he's running with God, running to God, each step he took by faith. He knew he was doing what God was wanting him to do. And it changed the way he walked around his life. I'll tell you something. You turn to God, it'll change your whole perspective. You lived your life in fear. You lived your life in worry. You lived your life in regret today. But you turn to God today, I'm going to tell you something. God can do a work of grace in your heart and set you free from all of that. You don't have to live in fear anymore. You don't have to live in worry anymore. You don't have to live in regret anymore. God can set you free from that and set you free to fulfill His purposes for your life. That's what He began to do for Jonah here. And boy, I think there was a little bit of a pep in his step as he began to walk around because he knew he was doing what God had asked him to do. And this becomes even more significant when you understand the place that Jonah was going to. See, it wasn't just any place. Nineveh was a brutal place. Let me read to you something that one historian wrote about the Assyrians from Nineveh at that time. The Assyrians were known far and wide for their violence. They impaled their live victims on sharp poles, leaving them to roast to death in the desert sun. They beheaded people by thousands and stacked their skulls up in piles by their city gates. And they even skinned people alive. There's a lot more fun stuff I could read there for you about the Assyrians. These were no mild-tempered people. They were a brutal group of people. That's who Jonah was going to go and preach. And keep in mind what it was that he preached. Look at verse number 4. The Bible says at the end of verse 4 that Jonah cried and said, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." Listen, that's not the message you want to go and declare to a group of people that could impale you on a stick and burn you alive. But that's the message that God was calling Jonah to go and preach in Nineveh. And yet he went by faith. He wasn't scared anymore. I imagine that if he was, after he cleaned himself up and he started making his way to Nineveh, that if he got stopped by somebody, this might have been how the conversation would go. They would ask, after they found out what he was doing and where he was going, they might ask something like this: "Weren't you scared to go? They might kill you. It might be dangerous." Imagine Jonah might say something like this: "Scared to go? I'm scared not to go. Let me tell you what God does when you don't go his way. You think that's bad? Let me tell you another story." Jonah knew it's a whole lot better to live in the will of God than out of it. That's a good thing for you and I to understand as well. You think the safest place you can be is to run from God. Friend, the safest place you can be is to run to God. God takes care of his own. You could be sure of that fact right there. And I love the transition we see that took place in his life. And so God gave Jonah a second chance here. By his grace, he restored this rebel back to his purposes for his life. He got Jonah back in step with his will. And I say to you this morning that God wants to give you a second chance to get back in step with him. Haven't you walked your own way long enough? How's it going for you? It's miserable, isn't it? Doing your own thing? Going your own way? It's no good. Your way isn't working. I'll tell you this, God's way will. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in that way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord will uphold his steps. God will take care of you. You allow him to order your steps. You allow him to tell you the way that you're supposed to go. Stop trying to go your own way. Start listening to the way that God wants you to go. You may wonder, what will happen if you take this second chance and go the way that God wants you to go? Listen to me. You may wonder, well, what's my wife going to think about this? If all of a sudden turn around, is she going to go along with me? Well, what's my husband going to think about this? What are my children going to think about this? Well, does that mean I'm going to have to change my job? I've heard people bring up all kinds of questions about trying to go the way that God is leading you to go. Understand this. The best route for you to take in life is the route that God determines for you. You may not understand it. You may not see how it's all going to work out. But if you, by faith, go along with what God's leading you to do, you will never regret it. David said in Psalm 37, "I have been young, and yet I'm now old, and yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." Friend, God will take care of you. You go his way, he'll do the rest. That's an important thing for you to understand there. God wants to restore you. The word restore means to bring back. It means to return you to a former place where you are intended to be. That's what restore means. And friend, I tell you today, God does want to bring you back. You may think as you look at your life today that it's not possible for God to restore a life like yours. I'm too screwed up. There's no way God can bring me back. There's no way God could do anything with me today. Well, I am happy to inform you today that we serve the God of the impossible. And he can. And he will. I want you to look at a prophecy in Joel. It's in your notes. Joel chapter 2 and verse 25. God promised Israel that he would do something here with their wasted years and resources. He said, "And I will restore to you the years that the locust have eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent unto you." By application here this morning, God promised to Israel as they turned to him that he would restore to them all the years that they had lost. You may look at your past and say, "I've got a lot of wasted years. I got a lot of burned bridges. I got a lot of hurt relationships. Can God restore a life like mine?" Yes, he can. Yes, he can. All those years and resources that the cankerworm and the palmer worm have eaten by up with sin, God can restore even those to you today if you'll turn to him. God's giving you a second chance if you'd be willing to take it today. And he wants to do it, I said, fourth of all, by restoring you. But the last thing I want you to see, and will have to be done today, a final way that God wants to give you a second chance is that God wants to reuse you. He wants to reuse you. And we go back to our story of Jonah here. After Jonah washed up on the shore, he got up and he made the journey to Nineveh. Look at verse 3 again. The Bible says, "So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, 'Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown.'" Now, I learned something this week in studying my Bible. I always thought, and maybe it's because I was taught this in Sunday school, I always thought, that based on what the Bible said here, that Nineveh was a three-day journey from where the whale spit out Jonah. And so it was supposed to take 3 days until he got to Nineveh, but he made the journey miraculously in 24 hours. That's not at all what the Bible's saying here. We'll look at this more next week. It's actually talking about, I believe, the circumference of the city and how big of a city Nineveh actually was. And so those are the things that were taking place. And so Jonah didn't make the journey to Nineveh in 24 hours. It probably took him weeks to clean himself up, get his strength back, and actually make it to the city of Nineveh. Some have even speculated months. But the point is, when Jonah finally got there and did what God had asked him to do, what we find is that God used him in a major way. Look at verse number 5 with me, if you would. The Bible says, "So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them." Listen to me. Jonah's preaching resulted in what I believe was the greatest revival that has ever taken place in the history of the world. On the day of Pentecost, about 3,000 people trusted Christ. When Jonah preached in Nineveh, there were 120,000 people at least who repented and turned to Jehovah God. You're talking about a significant thing. The funny thing is, he only spoke 5 words. Now, I wish I had sermons that were powerful enough to move people's heart with 5 words, and so do you. All right? He only spoke 5 words in Hebrew. In 5 words, the greatest revival that has ever taken place in the history of the world that we know of took place. And it's Jonah. Why Jonah? He's a rebel. God had to swallow him up in a whale, bring him back out. Why would God use Jonah? Why didn't God use some prophet that was obeying him the whole time? Why didn't God use some prophet who had his heart in tune with the Lord? Why would God use someone like Jonah? Because that's how God works. And I want you to understand this today before we're done. God not only gave Jonah a second chance at life, he gave Jonah a second chance at ministry. Are you listening to me? Hey, in Jonah's mind, he probably thought, "All right, I'm alive. Thank you, God. Now I'm going to crawl off into some corner of the world where nobody will notice me. I'm going to live the rest of my days." God couldn't do anything. I'm disqualified to be a prophet. God couldn't do anything with someone like me. If he was like some of you and I, that's what Jonah would have done. By the way, from a human standpoint, that makes sense, right? He screwed up. Why would God use someone like him? And yet God's word came to him and said, "No, Jonah, I want you to get up. I've still got work for you to do." And Jonah went, and wonder of wonders, God actually used him. When God gave him a second chance, it wasn't just a second chance at living. It was a second chance at serving God and doing something that mattered for eternity. That's what it was. And friend, God wants to give you a second chance to be used for His glory as well today. You say, "Well, God can't use someone like me. I've been in jail. I've been in prison. I've been divorced. I've had issues. I got fired from my job. This whole community knows my past." Friend, there are plenty of people in this room today who have a past just like you do. God restored them and He's using them today. You're not unique. The devil wants you to think that God could never do something with someone like you, but God can. He's the God of the impossible. You may think that today, but friend, your story could only be half over today. God still has something more that He'd like to do in your life today if you'd allow Him to. And if you think that God can't use someone like you, can I tell you, you're the exact type of person that God can use. You see, it's the people who think that they're made out for God to use greatly, that God can't do much with. I want you to see this before we're done. One more passage here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It's in your notes if you'd like to read it there, or you can look at it in your Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26. And let me turn over there myself. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26. If you're there, say amen. Here's what the Bible says. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, base things of the world, and things which are despised has God chosen, yea, things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. Why? That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, read the last phrase out loud with me, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. If you are weak, base, dumb, and a nobody, then you're in good company. God can do something with you. So long as you have it all together, you don't need God. You realize, if God doesn't do something with me, then I'm good for nothing. You're in a good position for God to use you. Why? So God gets the glory. See, it isn't great talent that God blesses, so much as it is great trust in an almighty God. You'd be willing to trust God again. God wants to give you a second chance, and he'd like to use you. And he can do something with your life that he can get all the glory. Listen, when you get to the end of your life, what you don't want to be said when you're laying here in a casket is how great of a person you are and how great things you've accomplished. What you should desire when somebody's talking about your life is that they would say how great of a God you served and how much he did with your life. That's a life truly worth living. And God wants to give you a second chance, and he can use you if you trust him, if you turn to him. And I wonder if you'd be willing to do that today. God isn't finished with you yet. Your story could only be half over today. God is a God of second chances. Hallelujah. He wants to revive you. He wants to restore you. He wants to reveal himself to you again. He wants to speak into your life again. He wants to recommission you, send you on his purpose for your life. And he even wants to use you today again, if you'd let him.